Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business on the Edge Extended with Margaret Jackson. This show is brought to you by Business on the Edge, your small business problem solver. We are servicing small businesses with business coaching and consulting services, a variety of small business solution packages, business and professional training, webinars, workshops, and seminars throughout the nation. To learn more about our products and services, call 347-357-0951 and for a free 30-minute On the Edge consultation, email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz. I always want to thank our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate your listenership around the world, and we hope that you get something valuable out of what we will share and out of what I'll share this evening in all of our Blog Talk Radio shows. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Women Lead, Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders. This actually is not by coincidence. If you have the book, Women Lead, Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders, this book is newly released by Dr. Tracy Weiland DeGenti. And before I get into the book and the framework of this book and share about what women are thinking, what we're doing in the workplace, we are certainly on the right track, ladies, and so it's exciting to know about that. But I have a question for the men out there. Okay, men, why do you have such a hard time with appreciating women doing a stellar job in the workplace? Now, I get that it's not all men, but the truth of the matter is it's a lot of men. Why do you, those of you that are out there and you know who you are, if you're listening to this Blog Talk show or archive show, that you have a little bit of an issue with women, regardless of their position in the corporation. They could be C-level executives, and you still think that she is, you know, the one that should go get coffee. You know, she's the one that should, in fact, I had a customer tell me, true story, I had a couple of true stories for you. Men are interesting creatures, and I love men. I have a great husband. But you guys are really amazing. And so I just want to shoot straight from the hip tonight and just talk to you a little bit about what women are thinking in terms of men in the workplace. One, men, we don't want to be bullied, and we're not trying to frustrate your job because we happen to be very good at what we do. It doesn't mean that you're not good at what you do. Could be so. Could be you don't know what the heck you're doing. But the truth of the matter is women just want an opportunity to do a great job. And that's not to say that there aren't women who don't do well in terms of their job, who are sloths. And, you know, I do a show on AM 1220 KDOW called Business from the Edge with Margaret Jackson here in the Bay Area. And I often talk about sloths because sloths are just lazy creatures. They could be male or female, and it absolutely I do not like working with these types of people, and we have them in our workplace. So I'm not talking about those guys. I'm just really talking to the folks that understand that, them talking to the women that know they work extremely hard to do an excellent job, you know, to put out whatever product they're supposed to be putting out and services that they're supposed to be providing for their company. And men who frustrate that situation, and this is not men versus women per se, but I just want to say some things that we're thinking about. You know, men, here's my true story. I had a client, I own my own company, I had a client, male, and his exact words to me were, yes, all women are subservient to men. And ladies, you know, at that point, I kind of shifted gears a little bit, and I girded myself up, and I began to explain to him in the most intelligent tone that I could find at that moment as to why women, all women, are not subservient to men at all. We are not subservient to any man. And so by the time we finished, several minutes later, he got the gist, and we finished his project well. We have not done another project because his mentality is corrupted and unappreciative as to what women bring to the table. So another true story, second true story, I'm sitting in a production meeting with my production team. I am the senior producer. Several years ago, probably about 8 to 10 years ago, senior producer, and having a post-production meeting with my team, and one of the guys, and this guy is like, and size doesn't matter, but this was like a 6 foot, you know, intelligent corporate guy, and he looks at me and says, I owe you an apology. I want to apologize to you. And I wasn't sure what he meant. He hadn't done anything to me that I was aware of. And he told me, he said, I want to apologize to you because I have been so insanely jealous of you. He could not stand the fact that my skill level in terms of producing television and production and the things that it frustrated him, and he happened to be one of the volunteers who was volunteering for some of the shows we were producing, and I was just, like, stunned. I said to him, why? And he said this in front of the entire team, which I have to commend him and tip my hat to him for having the courage to stand up and be a man and just say it. You know, I have more respect for him for actually, you know, saying that he was just insanely jealous, you know, and coming to the table with that. I how can you not respect that? I have to respect that. I mean, come on, for real. And so I said to him, but why? I said, I give you guys everything that I have. I teach you everything that I know. And he said, I know. But that's just the way it was. And so it baffles women, you know, for us to think, what is it that men expect us to do? Not to be intelligent, not to climb the corporate ladder, not to be business owners, or not to be the women. You know what? I am one. I'd love to see Hillary Clinton run for president in the next election. I believe she would win. I think it would be fantastic to allow a woman to be president. And I believe it because women have a knack or a skill to multitask and to bring people together and to communicate well and to get a team to move forward. That's a statistical fact. I'm just saying. But so it's just amazing in terms of how men think. So I want to kind of put that out there. And guys, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just saying, let's talk about stuff that women are talking about. Let's talk about things on this show on Sundays. And I'll do different shows during the week as we continue to get comfortable with our new Blog Talk Radio Extended and do some fun things. But this is for the women. We need something. And when you see people group off like this, you know, like women, and something for women, it's because something is out of balance somewhere else. There's not an equality. And so we have to discuss it so we can bring attention to it this month, this Black History Month. And we celebrate it because, and we point it out because something has happened with the inequality in our nation. And so it's not to take away from other groups, not to take anything away from men, not to take anything from other nations. I'm just pointing out the fact that sometimes when we break off into groups, it is because we're trying to identify something to say that we need a voice and we don't have a voice the way that we should. And so, and we can see that across the board in Fortune 500 companies, CEOs, what is it, just 15-16% of women are CEOs, and only one, there's only one Black CEO female for Xerox. So, you know, there's this out of balance. And Meg Whitman has done some amazing work in terms of treading some new ground for us, so we appreciate that. So anyway, back to Women Lead Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders. This book, I call it a masterpiece, and I call it a masterpiece because it is a work that Tracy, Dr. Tracy Weiland-DeGente, has worked hard with her team at the Apollo Research Institute to bring to us, and it was officially launched in January 2013. And Tracy was a guest on the AM 1220 KBOW Business on the Edge show just about two or three weeks ago with me live on our primetime show on Friday nights. And let me tell you a little bit about Tracy. Tracy is a leading author on the convergence of education, technology, and work. Dr. Tracy Weiland-DeGente is Vice President and Managing Director of Apollo Research Institute, where she guides the Institute's study of career and workforce issues, critically important to employers, educators, and policymakers. She is a former Silicon Valley executive. Dr. Weiland-DeGente has held leadership positions at Apple, HP, and Cisco. She is a visiting scholar at Stanford University's Media X program, studying the impact of technology on society. And we know that's a biggie because technology is going to continue to expand, and we need to stay relevant, especially those that are older in business. It is important that you continue to expand in your understanding of technology and stay relevant. Dr. Tracy is the author of 10 books. She catalyzes new thinking among business leaders and academics. Her last book, Women Lead Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders, and like I said, that was launched January 2013. In fact, we've given two of these books away live on our show on Friday night, so we can just get it out there. In fact, Amazon.com, you can purchase the books there. They were sold out, so I'm not sure if they have more in stock, or you can back order it or something like that. I'm not really sure. But she served as principal researcher on this book, examining women's contributions to the workplace and the economy. They also interviewed 3,100 men and women managers for this book, and it just goes on and on. So let's talk about some of the information in this book and what men and women are saying. I'm going to encourage this book, and I'm excited about this because they also interviewed 200 women workplace leaders, and I was one of the interviewees, and so I am quoted in this book several times. So if you do get this book, please enjoy the read. But in the content, the table of content, let me just tell you what's in it. And again, if you're a male listening to this show, it is to your advantage to partner with the women who are excelling and be a benefit to them, and they want to be a benefit to you. Women who get it, you know what we're thinking, how we can support the whole team, how we can support the company as a whole, how can we do our jobs. We're not really interested in whether you're male or female, how do we get the job done? What is the objective? What do we need to do to reach our goals? And women are doing that. Women are leading. And men, again, I am convinced that everyone has a complete and holistic destiny on their life. They have a legacy that they are trying to live out. They have a purpose that they are trying to accomplish. Why would you get in the way of that? That's not your job, or any man or woman, to get in the way of any individual trying to live out the pure purpose of their life, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of gender. I'm talking about the people with this framework. Why would you think that you have the power or authority to stand in the way of someone wanting to just live out the only life that they have? Why would you try to block that? And for me, I happen to be a woman of color, and I have resolved this for those that are roadblocks. I just go around you. It's just as simple as that. You don't roadblock me. I just keep moving and decide that you are not the one that I need to deal with. And I just do that, you know, to continue to achieve the goals and aspirations in my life that when I draw my last breath, I want to be able to think in that moment. I live a good life, and I gave something back to the world. I gave something to society. I gave something to my children. I've given something to my family. I did something, and I'm remembered for that. That's legacy and the purpose of living well. So I'm just saying, if I were a football team, I would be the Ravens. No offense, 49ers. I really think that you guys should have ran that last play into the end zone rather than trying to pass play it. But I'm just saying, I am aggressive about living the most fulfilled life possible. And you have men and women who want to do that. You have people of all nations and nationalities that want to do that. We need to quit stepping on each other's toes as if someone else's success eliminates something in you, because it does not. It doesn't eliminate anything in you. It doesn't take anything away from you having the same opportunities. I'm just saying. Those are my words of wisdom here, as I have about 13 and a half minutes left in this program. So, women lead. Here's the titles of the table of contents. Now, I'm not. They have subtitles as well. So, I guess I'll just read them all. Chapter 1: The Future of Work. Why women will thrive in tomorrow's complex, connected, and decentralized workplace. Interesting. Chapter 2: Women Lead. How women are making companies more profitable, innovative, and equitable. I know the statistical facts on this, especially in the state of California. Women are certainly changing the return on investment, the bottom line, the growth of the company. There's a lot of good information there. Women in the workforce, opportunities for women in the new economy. Chapter 4, forging their own paths. That would be, I'm one of those people, forging their own path. Self-employed women, small business owners, and entrepreneurs. That would be my world. Chapter 5, Education and Skills, a Woman's Toolkit for the Future. Education, you know, I tell people this all the time. I'm always a student. Always, always, always. I teach, and I help a lot of companies, and I get to speak in different organizations and places and corporate from city level to corporate level. I've gotten to do a lot of things, and I'm excited about that. But I am always a student. I do not, in fact, there's this great tool, because I'm sidetracking here. Lumosity, I'm not sure if you're not familiar with this particular website, but what it does is allow you to stretch your brain. It's this tool, this kind of game, and I'll play it 2, 3, 4 times a week just to kind of challenge my brain on memorization, on problem solving, just because I want to do better. And this is what women are thinking. We are reskilling ourselves. We are educating ourselves. We're getting more degrees. You know, we see more women come out of college versus men. Technology. How being tech savvy can give women an edge. Chapter 6. 7, negotiation, the women's advantage. Negotiation, women, we have to do better on negotiating salaries. And Dr. DeGenti has some great information in this book. In fact, let me flip to it really quick. Just so you know, people who never negotiate salary, I'm reading this from her book, can lose $500,000 by the age of 60. So 18% of women do not negotiate their salary. 37% always. I would be in the 37%. And I've learned to, especially being a small business owner, I've learned to deal with money up front. Let's just get to the bottom line. I do it whether we're courting a prospect to see where they're at, or if I'm if we're making a buy on something, just give me the bottom line. If I decide to buy, I let them know up front. But, you know, I like to get to the bottom line of those, of the money details, so that way we can quit dancing around what everybody's thinking about. We're always thinking about the money. It's just a fact. We're thinking about the finances when we're trying to create deals. The Labyrinth of Life. How women are reshaping work, family life, and retirement. Again, I would fall into this category because I don't think of my career as being linear, but much more nonlinear, that I'm able to put things in different places and things can move around much easier. Chapter 9, The Roadmap to Success. Has many twists and turns, planning your career and leaving room for serendipity. Chapter 10, Mentoring and Networking, Make Your Connections Work for You. This is very interesting because networking, I don't particularly go to a lot of networking events. I go to what I like to call creative networking events. And when I do that, I'm thinking, what is my return on my investment when I go to a networking event? First of all, I don't go to sell. Because most people that go to networking events want to sell. Everyone has sales on their mind. Everyone's asking, well, what do you do? And then the 30-second elevator speech comes. So there's two things that I do not do at networking events. I do not ask, what do you do? And I do not give 30-second outdated elevator speeches, because by the time you get all that information, it's like, what? What? You've clumped it all together. But I give people a reason to remember me when I do come. And I ask more creative questions to create a more interesting conversation that could lead to, let's have coffee sometime. So then we can talk other business outside of that. And in the meantime, with the networking event, you get to know people. Women are just doing things differently. You know, we're thinking outside of the box. And the final chapter, Women to Women. Life lessons for mothers and daughters, and then it goes with the conclusions. And again, this book is a masterpiece. And in chapter one, when she talks about the study, the attributes needed for effective leadership, some of the research is amazing. And when they interviewed men and women, funny, men and women came up with really the same order in which they thought attributes needed for effective leadership. So, number one, being confident, assertive. Two, being comfortable, taking calculated risks, and then they have a ranking that you can read in the book as well. Creative problem solver. Love it. I love creativity because I think that there's always more than one way to skin a cat. Able to think outside the box. That is definitely our society now, having to think outside the box. I love what Warren Buffett said, that if everyone's doing it, it's not good enough. So you want to do something more interesting. I like the book. If you've ever read the marketing book, Zag, fantastic read. You have to zag when everybody's zigging. So very, very good book. Empathetic, and I'm going to go through this list. Ethical, transparent, that's an interesting combination because we see in businesses that that's not always the case. You ever do a project and get something done well and someone else, your supervisor or whoever else part of the team that is passing this off, takes credit for all of the work, which is unethical, definitely not transparent. I have a rule in my company that when we win, we all win. Whether or not everyone participated in that particular project, but the truth of the matter is the operations of a company and moving things forward, someone's doing something to assist in the well-being of that company. So when we win, we all win. Our contractors win. The agencies we work with, they win. And so we try to share share the wealth. The show we do on Friday nights, I have a great producer, Kevin Drury. This is a great guy. Love working with him. And he really brings a lot of talent to how he produces our show. And if you ever want to tune in, by the way, you can tune in on Friday nights, AM 1220 KDOW. If you're in the Bay Area and in any of the nine Bay Area counties, you can tune in. or you can tune in, listen live on the website, www.kdow.biz, and we have a lot of fun. We really get kind of radical there in terms of some of the things that we do. It's a lot of fun. And so when we win, he wins with us, and I always give him kudos because he's a great, great, great producer, and KDOW is a great family to be a part of as well. So again, with this list, attributes needed for effective leadership, collaborative, inclusive. Women are very good with this. Bringing people in, being collaborative, being inclusive. Now, again, excuse me, there are women, and I'm not talking about the folks that we know that there's an exception to every rule, that people are afraid of being inclusive and collaborating and sharing because they're afraid someone's going to take a position. But again, I come with the mentality that if you understand legacy and life's purpose for yourself, then sharing the wealth or being collectively involved with your team doesn't take anything away from that end goal. So you don't have to hoard it. People hoard their jobs and hoard their information like it's, you know, and so selfish. And so, but we would get so much more done if we're communicating and we're developing relationships that we can unify on what we're trying to do in completing that objective. Motivating, empowering, funny word for me to say anyway. Motivating and empowering. I have to say it slow. It's really funny for me. It sounds funny. Anyway, just being real here. I like to empower. I like to motivate and empower people to be better than what they think they can be. I tend to be a question asker to get our teams to think. When we're coming together, I don't just give you the fish. You know the old little story, if you give them a fish, they'll eat for a day. If you teach them on a fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. I prefer you eating for a lifetime. So I'll teach you how to fish. Here's what's interesting. Not everyone wants to learn how to fish. They want you to give it to them. Those are sloths. Stay away from them. Throw them back. Throw them back out into the deep blue sea. What's a Starkiss? I like that old commercial Starkiss. Anyway, able to resolve conflict. I am, when it comes to conflict, and it comes up in business, it comes up in life. In business, I tend to, when it's really difficult, I love just face-to-face, let's get it on the table. I always like getting it on the table. If it's enough stress on it, I will bring everyone together. I'll bring myself together with someone and say, let's get this on the table. Or if they're wanting to open up a door opportunity, I don't force people to meet with me. But, you know, and I say this sometimes you're dealing with difficult contractors or whatever the case may be, but I like to problem solve. But I do that in a very strategic way so we could create a win. But if they don't, then, you know, sometimes you have to walk away. But problem solving is important. So we have about 90 seconds left. Lastly, able to make decisions quickly. Women and men are saying the same things that are important to leadership. So men, give women a break. We need a break. We're just trying to help the overall goal succeed. And let me just say, when I say men, give us a break, that's not to say that women are not your bosses or they're not climbing that corporate ladder, because they are. But again, it doesn't take anything away from you in that. And women are going to continue to rise. And if people do not get on board with that and want to hinder that, first of all, they can't. And number two, women are leading. And if you want to get a copy of this book, which is great, men and women should read this because I think it would help everyone. Women Lead, Career Perspective, from Workplace Leaders. You can get that at Amazon.com. You can go and get information on San Jose Women's Business Examiner. I'm an editor and writer, or writer for that column, not the editor, but the writer. There's a profile article there. Thanks for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Business on the Edge Extended with Margaret Jackson.